When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. It is The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And folks, this is a very special episode, very special segment of the show. I'm Sean Mapes. Joining me is RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, and Josh Chevy. We're all going to make history here today. Sports radio history, that is.
Innovators.
Innovation. We're going to go places.
Revolutionaries. Visionaries, some would say, Sean.
Places no one thought we could take this medium. Yeah. Arguably, places we could take audio itself.
Yeah. I think if Marconi were still alive, he would applaud us for this.
Yes.
The medium he created and pushing it in a bold new direction.
He would cry.
Tears of joy.
If he heard this, also, he would have some questions about other things as well, I imagine.
Yeah, he might ask us about Zion. We'll
today,
get to that at 11:30.
Yes, he'd be like, wow. I'd make a joke off air that I'm not going to make a joke on it. Today, we're going to debut a new segment. This is one that Brian and I cooked up in the lab this week. It's called Mount Rushmore Plus One. That's right.
Innovative. Yes. Thank you. Josh.
Thank you. So, a Mount Rushmore is a face on a mountain with four faces, actually.
Yeah, four faces.
Four faces on a mountain. It's been used in sports radio as a gimmick to make lists on who's the Mount Rushmore of X, what's on the Mount Rushmore of Y. Tired, boring, tropes, awful,
it's been done.
Get out of my ears, get out of my face.
Can you name the four faces on the mountain?
Absolutely.
George Washington.
Ding.
Abraham Lincoln.
Ding.
Andrew Jackson.
Nope.
Oh, it's not Andrew Jackson?
No.
I thought it was
Thomas Jefferson.
Oh,
and Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Okay, I had Roosevelt.
Roosevelt was on there just because he was like president.
Yeah,
he was president
at the time. Huh. That was Andrew Jackson. Snubbed?
Andrew Jackson, not
that
a
would
guy.
Definitely be
Let's
your
move on.
Plus one right there. That's a plus one right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a plus one right there. That's why we were doing the Mount Rushmore Plus One for the Andrew Jacksons of the world who are not on the actual Mount Rushmore but deserve to be.
Let's not stump for Andrew Jackson.
What? Is there new news that came out about a guy who died 200 years ago?
Yeah. Not a great guy. Let's move on.
So, who would like to go first in debuting the Neil Armstrong, so to speak, of this?
One small step for men.
One giant step for
all
sports radio kind. Mount Rushmore Plus One. We're all doing three different Mount Rushmore Plus Ones. We are freestyling this. It's a cipher going on right now. Mm-hmm. We don't know what each other's Mount Rushmore topic even is. Mount Rushmore Plus One, that is. Topic even is. So, who would like to be?
I can lead off here.
The first one.
I will be our Neil Armstrong, and my Mount Rushmore Plus One are the pretend athletes from movies and TV that I would want to put on a Houston sports team right now. Rushmore Plus One topic. So
okay, give me some of those faces.
Yeah. So on the Houston Rockets, I would like to add high school basketball player Will Smith from the TV show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who, despite playing on the shortest basketball court I have ever seen, dominated his competition unlike any other. And I think the Houston Rockets could desperately use that player to add to Ime Udoka in the young core around. Look, you didn't get Victor. That's fine. Yeah. You're probably not getting Scoot. That's fine. But you got the Prince.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to go a long way building the Rockets roster.
Him and Sengun could work on a
two-man game. Come along and throw a half-court pass at the end.
All right.
So my next one is Benny the Jet Rodriguez from the Sandlot. I think the Astros could use some speed at the top of the line. Look, Jake Myers, you know, Chaz McCormick, RJ struggling over here listening to this.
No, I had something in my eye. That's what
I thought you were getting all emotional about my pick from Benny the Jet Rodriguez. So
why did I feel you were saying like was it Pablo Sanchez from like Backyard Baseball? And I was like, no, it's Sandlot. Like that's why I was like.
So Benny the Jet, I think, is immediately the Astros center fielder. Next up, the Astros also, you know, look, Yordan's out. They need a power hitter. Yeah. So who better than Pedro Serrano for Major League? Now we gotta make sure Jobu has his alcohol. We got to make sure Jobu is happy so that Pedro can be successful, and hopefully they don't throw him a lot of curveballs. But Pedro Serrano, I think, is the bat that the Astros need while Yordan's out. In the balls, exactly. I'm going to give this one to the Texans. I haven't given this one to the Texans yet. And this is really from a cinematic universe. It's not just one movie. It's from a cinematic universe.
Okay.
But from the MVP Air Bud Cinematic Universe, Most Valuable Primate, if you didn't know what MVP stood for, Josh. Josh has got the eyebrows raised. He's too high class to watch cinematic masterpieces like Most Valuable Primate. But those monkeys and dogs could do anything on a sports field or court. So I think, look, the Texans don't have a lot of talent. I saw Air Bud score touchdowns.
I was going to say, they do need golden receiver.
Sean! Yes, that is the name of one of the movies, yes. And my last one, also for the Rockets, Scott Howard. You might know him as Teen Wolf.
Mm.
I saw him dunking the basketball all over the court.
Question.
Sure, of course.
Do you want Teen Wolf or Scott Howard?
I want Teen Wolf. Scott Howard couldn't play.
Teen Wolf, kind of a ball hog. Scott Howard distributed.
We had James Harden here. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with ball hogs. So
personal development.
Look, no one could guard Tari Teen Wolf. Eason. No one could guard Teen Wolf. So Teen Wolf, welcome to the Houston Rockets. Okay. That is my innovative Mount Rushmore plus one.
Okay, RJ, give me your Mount Rushmore plus one. Hope you have enough.
Yeah, this is
it's a plus one.
Yeah, this is really going to be a very boring. I used to be a huge anime buff. And of course, everybody, when you know you name animes, of course, you're going to go normally Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you my Mount Rushmore that I loved watching the entire series through and through. Although one of these, I did not watch the entire series because they just announced that they came out with season two. So, number one, DRRR, better known as Durarara, which is one of like it's what got me into anime. I was in college when I first got into it. It's about a kid who is going into Ikebukuro in Japan, and this whole story is surrounded by a doulahan who's trying to find her head. And it's a wild, crazy story, spans about like five seasons. I feel like the final season was in 2014. That's number one. Number two, K Project. There's seven gangs in Japan. Someone who's a new kid gets framed for murder. And now all the kings, the gang affiliates, now want to kill him. So it was a wild ride from front to back. And when you finally figure out like who actually killed who, you're just like, okay, this is crazy. Beyond the Boundary, I don't cry with animes or TV in general. First anime to make me cry.
Okay, Mike Vrabel. You hard-o over here?
It did. It made me cry. Number four, Classroom of the Elite, one of the greatest animes of all time, in my opinion. And number five, Black Lagoon. Black Lagoon is, you know, somebody is supposed to be going to a deserted island. He's supposed to be dead by everybody's opinion in Japan. But he's actually alive in a gang-riddled city. And trying to find his way out. So, you know, I figured all this out last minute, guys. I'm sorry. I wish I could have gotten something more. But, yeah, my favorite when
it's okay,
I...
okay. You're educating me. I haven't... I
when
don't
I
know
used
any
to, when
shows.
I used to watch animes, those are my... That's my Funky Four plus one more.
Funky Four. No, this is a Mount Rushmore.
It's a Mount Rushmore, but it's my Funky
innovated.
Four plus one more.
How dare you disrespect.
That was the name
Andrew
of a rap
Jackson.
Group.
God. All right, Sean.
My Mount Rushmore plus one is a Mount Rushmore plus one of national monuments and landmarks.
This.
I would hope Mount Rushmore is a part of your Mount Rushmore plus one. Even
number five.
Andrew Jackson's
number five. Number five, Lincoln Monument. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool at the end of the Mark Wahlberg playing the Apes. When he went back, he thought he was going back home. And instead of Abraham Lincoln, it was a giant... ape, signifying that apes have run the world and They've run the world forever.
It was also really cool when Andy Dwyer found the piece of gum by the steps and thought it was a part of a clue to find the Declaration of Independence.
It also looks straight ahead at the Washington Monument, which sucks. Washington Monument sucks. Not going to be on the Mount Rushmore. Number four on the Mount Rushmore plus one national monuments and landmarks. Mount Rushmore. The reason for the season.
It's a worthy
just not number
inclusion.
One.
It's the reason for the well.
It's the reason for the season.
Having it in the top three is crazy to me right now.
It never got finished.
Josh has national monument hot takes.
It never got finished. They were supposed to be the full bodies of these presidents. You notice it's only the heads.
Quitter.
Actually helped invent dynamite.
Yes.
Dynamite was invented to blow up that mountain and put faces on it.
And you're still not giving enough credit. Ever.
They didn't finish it.
They invented dynamite.
They're chokers and losers. James Harden of monument making. Anyway, number three, the Alamo. Because I remember.
I don't.
The Alamo.
Damn it, you beat me to it.
Smaller than you think when you get there.
Yeah,
but
it is.
But crucial in the Texas Revolutionary War, gave the army of Sam Houston enough time to train and do the runaway scrape and get all the way to San Jacinto. And eventually win Texas's independence from Mexico.
So progressive.
Number two, the Shaquille O'Neal statue out of Crypto.com Arena.
Crypto, RJ.
Crypto.com.
Crypto.
It is not connected to the ground in any way. Really took the statue game literally to a new level with that 9-foot, 1,200-pound statue of Shaquille O'Neal. Yes, it's life size.
It's acting, yeah.
Oh, well,
it's a scale.
His playing weight.
He was in Boston.
Yes, so that's the number two, the Shaquille O'Neal statue out of Crypto.com Arena. RJ, you like that one, right?
I hate that one because it's not called Crypto.com. It's just not.
Number one, Statue of Liberty. Shout out to Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah. This is where we should hit the national. If we, Josh, the national helped, anthem.
They helped. Which one of these monuments helped save the day from Vigo, the bad guy from Ghostbusters 2? That's right. Only the Statue of Liberty. Hero, symbol of America. The first thing that all the tired, unwashed masses saw as they came to Ellis Island. It's the symbol of American and the American dream itself. Give me
what?
We're going to Burke.
Give me the Statue of Liberty. Do you not have a Mount Rushmore plus one? That sucks. Maybe next time, Josh.
Okay, you know, it's okay. I'll be quiet.
You said we need to go to break. I was going to go to you. We need to go to break.
We got to pay the bills. We got to pay the bills.
One of producers here at ESPN Radio, and Josh is going to be on the list. I think he just found his way off the list.
Josh is the Andrew or Abraham Lincoln.
He's the Shaq statue from your list.
He is the Shaq statue. It's a great statue. Go look it up.
Completely to scale. 100% accurate. All right, that was the new innovative segment. Mount Rushmore plus one.
We'll do a couple more.
Yeah, I've got way more on my notes, my notes app on my phone. So we could do some more of that next week or the week after, or I don't know, maybe the rest of the summer. So coming up next, we got a draft in the to kind of pay homage, not pay homage. That's a weird way to phrase it, but to kind of relate to the Yordan injury, the sports injuries that crushed our souls as sports fans. We'll draft them next here in the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, should it break? Is there a bidet repairman on site?
Take a deeper dive into Houston sports stories at SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Big opinions from all our hosts about the Astros, Texans, Rockets, and more. SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Subscribe today.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 is the Bullpen here with the producers of ESPN Radio. If you want to hit us up on the HRMP listener line, weigh in. Give us your own Mount Rushmore plus one, or weigh in on anything we had to say about DeAndre Hopkins, the Astros, the NBA Finals. Give us a call again on the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at SackByBMAC. Sean is at Sean and Mapes. RJ is at R has no J. And our man Josh behind the glass is at IMJ Chevy. Guys, I don't know how I can continue to do radio after we broke just completely new direction for sports radio. I mean, I think this is kind of like the AD of sports radio. No, we almost have to start a new timeline for after Mount Rushmore Plus One broke into our world and just showed us a new light that we never knew even existed. But we have to move on from that. I wish we could do Mount Rushmore Plus One every segment. But this segment, we will draft the sports injuries that crushed us. Obviously,
Speaking of AD.
Just kind of playing off the Yordan Alvarez injury because I think we're all, you know, I don't know. Have you guys seen the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yes.
That might be dating me a little bit. But there's that scene when Arthur fought the Black Knight and he keeps chopping off his arms and legs and all his limbs and everything. And the Black Knight tries to play it off. Oh, it's just a flesh wound. Oh, well, you know, just why are you running away? I'll come over here. I'll bite your kneecaps. It kind of feels like that with the Astros where all these guys go down and like, yeah, we're fine. Yeah, okay, the Astros can still survive this. And then Yordan gets hurt. It's like, all right, you chopped off my head. That's probably it. So to kind of play off of that, let's get into this draft of these sports injuries that crushed us. RJ, I'll let you go first. What is your first pick for the sports injury that crushed you as a sports fan?
The year was 2013. Sitting in my room, Lakers are trying to make their playoff push with Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol and old Steve Nash. Kobe's playing too many minutes. Gets injured the first time around against Golden State. I said, sit him down. Gets injured the second time, sit him down. Kobe doesn't want to sit down. And then there goes the Achilles. Superman has died. And I think that's the first time us Laker fans, I mean, Kobe's played through so many injuries. That was the first injury where
you thought he was mortal?
Yeah, where you just knew like he was a mortal guy. I mean, even when Gary Vitti says, like, Kobe asked, like, can we just go in the back, wrap it up, and I can play again? He's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
No,
and Achilles. Yeah, so, and he walks back to
so the, hard, though. I love it.
Yeah, so
that's not how Achilles works.
So, yeah, walks back to the locker room, and really, I mean, that was the end of Kobe after that. So, yeah, my number one, just because it hit very hard, I feel like, for a lot of Laker fans, is Kobe Bryant's Achilles.
Sean, who you got with your first pick?
There's two that are very that are like both first round talents.
If you don't, if you don't take one of them, I will.
I know that you know what I'll.
I'm just putting it out there. There's one that I know we're both thinking of. If you don't take it here, I'm taking it.
Oh,
I'm giving you the opportunity.
You know what? I'm going to take it. Let me take you back to 2010, January 7th, 2010.
Yep, that's it.
Pasadena, California.
Sprint left option.
Colt McCoy's shoulder injury in the national championship game against Alabama.
Still hurts.
Anytime it's basically you lose a championship because of a injury, or at least you go from having a chance at a championship to having zero chance
they
at a championship.
They had the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to lead with Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. Despite, I mean, it was just.
Not really breaking new ground here. Really sucked. Really super suck, guys. I can't. And then you have Garrett Gilbert, his whole deal being the starter next year.
Yeah, going I was at five that first seven. Game against Rice. I remember, I think I've told you this story before. I go to that Rice game, the first game of the regular season in 2010, and they're struggling against Rice. And I just look at my wife and was like, I think they might be bad this year. They went 5-7.
All right. So I went a little game theory. Hopefully,
that was my first pick. It was literally the first
I want to make you
pick.
Sweat for it. What do you got, Brian?
All right, so I'm going to take another easy one. I think we've talked about in previous shows about titles the Rockets should have had, and one of them came when CP3 tore his hamstring.
My pick and that pick were the two I was choosing from.
The Houston Rockets, I believe, that year when CP3, Harden, and Capella were all healthy, had like a 45-3 record. When they all started and played, they were not I want I don't want to say unbeatable. They weren't playing the Warriors, but they were a damn good team, and I think would have gone on to win the NBA championship. But CP3 tears his hamstring in Game 5, and as we know, the rest is history. RJ, what's the next one on your list?
I always had this conversation in Jacksonville with a guy by the name of Beef. That was his name.
His God-given name?
Not his God-given name, but his name at the station. Because he is a Chicago Bulls fan, and I always ask him, why, Thibs?
Yeah.
Why? Derrick Rose's ACL giving out.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, MVP. One rookie of the year. He was MVP. Yeah. And I understand that, you know, at certain points in times, you know, game one, you really want to send a message, but you did not need to against the Philadelphia 76ers. And, you know, Derrick Rose is out, and Derrick Rose has not been the same since that injury. Yes, he did drop a 50 bomb in Minnesota, but after that, he really hasn't been the same. What could have been with Derrick Rose? That absolutely crushed me, and I know it crushed Beef, too. We talk about that all the time.
RIP to Beef. Sean, what you got?
He's a Bulls fan. His name is Beef.
Yeah. He's originally from Chicago.
That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, I mean, does he know what Beef's made of?
I mean, his real name is Steve, but I know him better than Steve.
Okay. Yes. My pick, this has no story involving meat in any way.
you don't have a friend named Pork?
No,
Pork. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
How about chicken?
Yes. My friend Matt Schaub in 2011.
Oh. Yeah, that was
Liz, on my list. Liz Frank injury. We have a very similar
You're killing boards. Me. You're killing me.
Yeah, again, you go from having at least a chance to make a run. It would have been – you would have had to probably pull off an upset somewhere down the line.
I mean, they were a Jacoby Jones fumble away from making to the AFC Championship game without him.
Yeah, exactly. So that 2011 season, right? It was 2011.
Yeah, it was 2011.
And then side pick the Matt Leinart injury because that forced TJ
Yates first game he was playing in Jacksonville. Now we're not going to break yet, Josh. We got one more round, sir. You hold on and wait there. Like the power move. I know. Wow. That was
a power trip.
That was aggressive. I tried to portray my Mike Vrabel Hardo attitude there. I think it worked. All right, I'm going to stick with another title that I thought the Rockets could have won, and that came in 2009 when the Rockets in the second round won Game 1 in L.A. at Crypto. And then Yao Ming got hurt his foot. He finished the game. He went back to the tunnel, then came back on the court. He was a heroic. He finished the game.
Kicked our
head. And then he was out for the rest of the series. And the Rockets took the Lakers to 7, the eventual NBA champions.
Right.
And probably could have won. I think they could have won a title that year. Would have got to the Western Conference Finals with Yao, which they obviously never did. So that one is next on my list. RJ, what's your last pick?
I choose this one because it was so gruesome, and it's why I will never throw a lob to anybody.
Oh, God, yeah.
You'll never Paul throw
Pierce.
A lob to
You're talking about Paul Pierce?
I'm not talking about Paul Pierce.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Gordon Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
I was laying down watching the game. It
not
was,
throwing a lob to someone?
No, but it was opening night. And next thing, I guess because it was so close to the cameras, I could hear a pop.
Because the basket mic picked it up.
So, I turn, and then all of a sudden I see a, you know, contorted, you know, ankle and everything like that, and just I turned off the game. I couldn't watch the game after that.
It did give a all time great reaction gif though of all the various Cleveland D-Wade! Cavaliers. Yeah, all the various Cavaliers like staring at the ground and stuff. Yeah. And it's also like Jay Crowder and Dwayne Wade wearing Cavaliers jerseys, which is also very funny to remember.
So I don't care who you are. If I play pickup basketball, you can jump towards this. I'm not throwing a lob. I will throw a bounce pass, and you can dunk.
As they jump in the air.
No, you could. I will give you a two hand bounce
Stockton
pass
out there.
Two hand bounce pass. You can dunk it on your own, but throwing a lob? No, I'm not doing it. Not even in traffic. No.
Sean, what's your last pick?
This one not so much crush
who,
me, but
yeah, who are you going to steal from me this time?
But more, this is more like impactful as far as like the history of these franchises go, and that's Drew Brees' injury in 2005.
Ooh, yeah.
Obviously couldn't get cleared by the Miami Dolphins, ends up going to the Saints, also gets let go by the Chargers, probably just going to get let go no matter what because they had just drafted Phil Rivers the year before. But went from, oh my God, is this guy ever going to throw a football again, to being one of the all-time greats, really better than he was in San Diego.
Yeah, definitely so. My last pick, not one that really changed the fortunes of the seasons like my other two with CP3 and Yao. But 2015, this thing is on my list because I've seen Bill O'Brien do this throughout his career at this point. And it was something I was writing for Bleacher Report at the time. It's something I was calling him out on pretty much every game, where he would be in games where the Texans were either up big or losing big, and he would leave Arian Foster out there to get meaningless carries. And that ended with 2015, a game in Miami where they were down 3 touchdowns with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. He's still running Arian Foster, someone who'd added a history of injuries at that point. And of course, Foster tears his Achilles and is never the same. He comes back and plays a little bit more for the Dolphins, ironically enough. But he was never the same running back, and his career was pretty much over at that point. So that'll do it for our sports injuries that crushed us here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, you got a winner for us, or what do you think of these lists?
Honestly.
Whose list crushes you the most?
I'm going to go with my man RJ on this one. RJ gets the dub for me.
Is it because he has a friend named Beef? Is that why?
You know what? I feel bad for Beef. I didn't even consider that, but that really was, you know, the icing on the beef.
It humanized the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just say, I ask him all the time. I say, if Rose didn't get injured, do you guys beat the Heat that year? And he's like, and he says no. He says no, but I always ask that question. I mean, Rose was at the top of his game at that point.
What a real fan.
All right, 2 segments left here in the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonough, our man Josh behind the glass. And we got to get into something we call the leftovers, these segments that we didn't have time to get through earlier in the week on our own individual shows, including a one Zion Williamson, who's had a hell of a week. That's next to the bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Sports Scooby Snacks.
This sure is a creepy place.
Yeah.
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald. We got about 30 minutes left in the show, and right about now is where we like to have some leftovers in the show. And what this is basically the audio that RJ, myself, and Brian get ready. We prep for all the shows that we produce during the week, and for whatever reason, rundown stuff, clock, we just never get to play them during the show. Poor
Maybe
planning.
Paul has to tell a story about a nightmare where he kicked the cat off the bed.
I was going
to
say,
you know, the show gets away from
me. I can only speak for the show that I work on, the Paul Gallant Show. Sometimes, I don't know, just gets away from us. We go down
sometimes
tangents.
Sometimes you got to talk about being jury duty and getting into your southern accident.
Yeah, so bleep happens, and we don't play the sound or talk about the topics we want to. And this segment where we get to talk about play that sound. So you may be listening to this show being like, wow, how mature these guys are. They're not going to talk about the Zion Williamson story that's set Twitter ablaze this week with him announcing his pregnancy with his girlfriend. Congratulations, Zion. But then that led to porn star Mariah Mills going on a tweet binge, I would say, tweet brigade.
That's fair.
Of airing some dirty laundry out of Zion Williamson. And you know what? I could lay out all the facts of the case. I'm going to let Stephen A. Smith do it. Stephen A., here's Stephen A. Smith from his podcast.
The name Zion Williamson came up because apparently he's about to be a daddy.
He's about to be a dad.
He's about to be a dad. And the person who's about to make him a new father is not the person that was on social media talking about him. A girl by the name of Mariah Mills calling him out by name, giving vivid details of their encounters with one another. She's a porn star. Where am I going? Man, you only played 29 games last year, and you missed the season before that. What the hell is taking you so long to get healthy? Well, now I know. You're young, you're not married, you can do what you want to do. It's a damn shame she's putting your stuff out like that. Need to cancel her. But there's a bigger issue here. I mean, she's a porn star. Well, one would surmise she's kind of an expert at whatever it is he does. You know, I've been waiting for the leg injury to cure to heal, Zion. I've been waiting for a while. He's been waiting for a while. I mean, damn, bro. No wonder you ain't healthy. I'm talking about your legs. We need those legs spry. We need you bench pressing with your big self. We need you bench pressing about 400 pounds. We need you running up and down that court. He's a man child. But you can't get healthy. Your lower extremities were compromised.
That's why he's the best in the business, folks. That is why he's the best in the business. Your lower extremities were compromised. That I mean, is, I couldn't have laid it out any better.
A, just well done. Listen, so he's going with the women weakened legs line from Rocky or something.
Mick from Rocky, Brian, your thoughts? I don't have a question about this story. Take it wherever you have a lot of you don't
experience
really
of porn stars.
You have a kid.
I do have a kid.
When you announced when you and your wife announced that you were having a kid, didn't any porn stars tweet about you?
No porn stars tweeted about what we did together because that hasn't happened. Man, I don't even know
nice
where to
save.
Go. Yeah, nice save, exactly. I don't know where to go with this exactly. I mean, how do you? I mean, the one thing I told this to RJ before the show started. I mean, I don't know what Zion may or may not have said to her, and I don't want to come out sounding judgmental or whatever. But it's just odd that the Mariah Mills took this as like a completely monogamous relationship when the relationship wasn't public.
Yes. Especially
we know what, you know, like Stephen A. laid out, we know what her profession is. I mean, I would have thought she would have known what this was. It's Zion looking for some extra on the side.
That's, it's also like the receipts that she tweeted out, and trust me, she tweeted out a lot of receipts.
She tweeted out a lot of receipts.
She's still tweeting.
I'm looking at an article, and I'm like, these are all old tweets that at this point. But she tweeted out evidence of
Exhibit A.
Yeah, I mean, she was taking like pictures off another phone of Snapchat messages. Real pro move. That that this relationship was always transactional in nature.
Yeah.
Like Zion Williamson was always. Now he would be like, I want to, you know, move you out here, but then he also goes, how much would I have to pay you to have you move out here? And it's like it seems like she's kind of she's very open that this was a transactional relationship, but somehow now she's been wronged in some way.
Yeah, I mean, this wouldn't be the first time an athlete and someone who works in that profession had a kind of a transactional relationship. Shout out to DeAndre Deshaun Watson and Mia Khalifa. It's just weird that she kind of took this relationship. Because, I mean, look, not again, not to be judgmental, I can't imagine this is the first one she's had with an athlete.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, if I had to place a wager, I would say it wasn't the first. So I don't know if she thought she could just make a name off of this, or maybe
I think there's a little bit of that.
If she's right in the fact that one of her tweets said that she was late, maybe she's trying to lay the groundwork for some money coming back. I don't know.
I think that's what some of this is. Is his girlfriend, baby mama, girlfriend? I don't know.
I don't know.
Has just secured a long term payment.
Yes, 100%.
Mariah Mills only had short term payment from Zion.
She was afraid that money was about to dry up. So
I will say this about Mariah Mills: I hope that she has some royalties with her videos, because a little birdie told me that on the hub she is number one trending.
Of course she's trending.
Of course she is. This is huge for her business.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, honestly, that's why
that might be why she did it. She's going to trend number one. Her videos are going to go through the roof.
If she bought her Masters, she's in great shape.
I think. At first, she was definitely tweeting emotionally. I think at this point now, it's been like 48 hours. I think this is all PR and like
business,
making the most when you have the spotlight. Do we have any more thoughts on this matter?
RJ, you got you. RJ, that's the one way.
Okay.
That's fine.
I will put it out there. Mariah, if you're listening,
oh my God.
if you need some management,
are you shooting your shot
call,
right now?
No, management.
Okay.
Call me, because I got a crazy business idea. Instead of tweeting this stuff for free, since you're already trending, you could tease it with an OnlyFans account. Say, hey, I'm going to leak our messages in this OnlyFans account.
Yeah.
Your stuff already out though, so might as well
you can sell your dirty laundry and also sell your dirty laundry.
Exactly. You see the vision?
Guys pay for that.
See the vision?
Talk to me.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to me. You know what? I'll be in her DMs after the show, and I'll see how that goes.
Okay, yeah. Can we quickly talk about hashtag Old Man Summer?
Yes, yes. You take this one.
Yeah. See, look at this. You see what he did there, Josh?
No. Yeah. You put it in the rundown.
Old Man Summer. He immediately throws it to me because I'm the old.
Yes. Old Man Summer goes to B-Mac.
I handled
leftovers went to Zion.
I handled the porn star baby mama drama. You handle old men.
I don't know how to take this. That's fine, though. I'm not nearly as old as Bill Murray, but Bill Murray apparently was attracted by someone's milkshake. He is, what, 75 years old? 70. And now he's hooking up with Kellis, who, if you don't remember, once saying that all her milkshakes brought the boys to the yard. I don't know if this milkshake had Metamucil in it, maybe some sort of multivitamin that attracted Bill Murray. But, I mean, off the heels of Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. Now, I will give Bill Murray a little bit of credit. Like, in the case of Pacino and De Niro, they were with women who, by age, could have been his granddaughter. At least with Bill Murray, she could only be his daughter. So it's a little bit closer here.
72 and 43.
Yeah, 72 and 43. It's still gross, but at least it could only be his daughter's age.
Also, apparently they met, or no, he reported attended several of her performances, including a show in London last weekend. He's there to film a Ghostbusters sequel. How about that?
Oh, okay. Find love on the set.
Yeah, and we also mentioned Ghostbusters 2 earlier in the show. That's a lot of Ghostbusters talk here today.
All right, that'll do it for a segment RJ felt very uncomfortable about.
Happy for Zion, happy for Bill Murray, happy for Kells. I'm happy for everyone, except for Ryan Mills.
And I'm going to get a milkshake on the way home. All right, we got one segment left here on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the producers here of ESPN Radio, Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, who does not want his name on this segment, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. The last segment, of course, being our worst people of the week, and the things we love from sports this week. That is all next on ESPN Radio. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
ESPN 97.5.com. What did we say to you?
And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was. And I'll say sorry for that too.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. The fun continued here on the Bullpen during the break. Twitch has been having problems today, so you probably couldn't have caught it on Twitch. But most weeks, make sure you're watching on Twitch so you can hear the conversation continue during the break. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Josh behind the glass, myself, Brian McDonald, back with you here. And as we do every week in our final segment, we talk about our worst people in sports this week. We swim with the anger sharks, and my anger sharks are directed towards a hockey fan who interrupted a news report from CBS Miami's Samantha Rivera, who was trying to give a post-game report about the NHL finals with the No, I guess it wasn't the NHL finals. It was the conference finals. No, it was the NHL finals. Sorry, I didn't read here far enough ahead. So it was a Vegas Golden Knights fan who interrupted this report you're about to hear from CBS Miami's Samantha Rivera.
A very loud crowd here at T-Mobile Arena. Obviously, Vegas fans enjoying the less than ideal night.
What you can't see, just hearing the audio, is how professional Samantha Rivera was, shoving and stiff-arming away the loud Vegas Golden Knights fan while still doing her report and tossing to the highlight she was about to do that. That was very impressive, and Josh and I had the same thoughts on our on Samantha Rivera that we shared during the break, but that was very impressive. I almost wanted to make it just a love for the week for her, but man, that was great. She actually followed up on Twitter afterwards saying, listen, I don't give a damn what team you're rooting for. Get the hell out of my face when I'm working and respect that I'm here to do my job. Samantha Rivera of CBS Miami, salute.
A wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, she sounds awesome.
She sounds awesome, yeah. Go ahead and make sure you shoot your shot after the show, Josh. RJ, what was your thing you love, or your worst person in sports this week?
Let's see. I mean, you know, listen. When Stephon Marbury left the NBA, and he went to China. He became a godlike figure in China. Said that several NBA teams had asked for him to come back. You know, when he was in China, and he declined and said no. Dwight Howard is not following that motto. It seems to be going very, very bad for one Dwight Howard after the Taiwanese team has asked for him to take a 65% pay cut on his contract for next season. He is now shooting his shot to not only come back to the NBA, but the team that he wants to play for, which is the Sacramento Kings. Dwight, I don't know how to say this nicely. It's over.
You washed.
It's done.
Yeah.
You're washed,
bro.
Goodbye, Dwight. I mean, listen, what I think is, if you know, a Hall of Famer in the NBA, one of the greatest defensive NBA players we've ever seen, was absolutely monstrous in his early years in Orlando. Helped the Lakers win a bubble championship, whatever kind of championship you want to call it. I'm not going to get into that argument. But
I wasn't going to put an asterisk on him, but okay.
Okay, that's what everyone says. Yeah, Dwight.
If Miami would have won, I would not have put an asterisk on it.
Okay, so he helped the Lakers win a championship in 2020.
There you go.
Right. But yeah, no, you're not. I don't believe Sacramento wants you. I don't think any team in the NBA wants you.
Why do you single out Sacramento, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, I mean, so he said, I'm not retired from the NBA just yet, and I would just love to help the Sacramento Kings contend for a title. They did very well without you this season. Yeah, I don't think you helped them move.
They already have a good center.
Yeah, so sorry, Dwight. It's
not the NBA team you're helping at this point, Dwight. No. Who is your worst person, Sean?
Conor McGregor.
Why, Sean?
For in the middle of game four, things could not have gone worse for the Miami Heat, because even the mascot Bernie caught one in a little bit in between timeouts or whatever. Conor McGregor punched Bernie the mascot, knocked him out cold, and then followed it up with a UFC kind of like ground and pound shot. So two shots, three shots. His fist to Bernie, Bernie hitting the floor, his fist to Bernie again. And that sent Bernie to the ER.
Man.
After the game.
Hard times.
Yes. And let me say this, Bernie, if you're listening, which I hope you are.
He definitely is.
If you do not sue Conor McGregor this week, if I do not hear that some shady Miami lawyer is helping represent Bernie against Conor McGregor, you will be the worst person of the week next week too. This is the dream, is to sue someone and make a lot of money.
Bernie, I got somebody for you. Just hit my line. I know you got it. Well, I know you got my digits.
You got
somebody
dirty lawyers
for you.
On the speed dial.
Absolutely.
Josh's DMs are going to be packed.
Oh my
this
God.
Week. More packed than usual.
He's reaching out to porn stars about business ideas. He's shooting a shot with other reporters who shove.
Now Bernie's going to be in there.
Now he's talking with Bernie. Josh is an enterprising young man. All right, we're done swimming with the anger sharks. Time to. Maybe dog paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility. We're going to take it easy. There's no reason to do a full stroke here. I mean, we don't have to. I don't know. I was just trying to think of the most leisure way to swim in doggy paddle is what I came up with. So we're in the Sea of Tranquility. And the thing I love from sports this week was – gosh, well, this is not even something I love for we completely. Actually, Sean, why don't you go first with your thing you love from sports this week? Because I completely lost what I wanted to go with.
All right, my favorite thing this week is LeBron, who by the way has a French name, starting Le Mans, a 24-hour race in France, and he did it as the locals do. Because when in Paris, do as the Parisians do.
Pila, Dimore. Bon, motors.
Nice. He said, gentlemen, start your engines. I will say, LeBron, while you're in France, maybe tone down all the king talk, because you don't want to know what happened the last time that there was a king in France.
Okay, I'm also opening up my phone DMs to LeBron as well.
Oh, but God.
Listen, I too share a French name, my last name, so I could call him. Or he could call me. Okay, we could work on the French pronunciation.
Is French?
I didn't know that. Josh, how would you rate King James's French?
2. As someone who's taken French actually for 6 years, that was god awful.
when you take into account that he probably got handed like a note card with the pronunciation that like five minutes before he got out there.
I do know that was probably exactly what happened. Like, there's like, oh snap, LeBron, by the way, here you go.
He was practicing in the jet on the way over.
All right, RJ, what'd you love from sports this week?
Oh, man, we go to the NBA Finals, and Nikola Jokic, man, you know, has a historic triple-double with, what, 30 and 20 and 10. Hey, Joker, how'd you feel about it?
Tim McMahon, ESPN, I know you're not a guy who cares a lot about your stats, but when you have a line that's never been accomplished before in finals history, what do you think of that?
To be honest, I just think it's a win, you know, because if you lose, nobody's going to even mention it. Even, I mean, to be honest, I don't care. It's just a stat.
It's just a stat. I wish I would be celebrating. I still would be telling everybody about a 30 and 20 and 10 triple-double. Nope, just a stat.
All right, we got a 1 minute left here in the show. Quickly, my thing that I love from sports this week, the Mariners GM has admitted that the Mariners suck. On Thursday, general manager Jerry DePoto all but admitted the team he put together is not that good. He went on a show in Seattle called Brock and Salk. Was that a show that was the same station that Pauly G was at? I'm not sure. It was. Anyway, his quote was, and this is just being honest, we could go out there and acquire prime Babe Ruth, and it's not going to help us. We're not one player away or one magic spell from fixing this. I love the honesty, maybe especially coming from following a team here in Houston that describes every injury as discomfort. So hats off to you, Jerry, for admitting that Babe Ruth couldn't fix the god-awful team they put together in Seattle. That'll do it for the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. For Sean Mapes, for RJ Saunders, for Josh Behind the Glass, I've been Brian McDonald. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.